Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We'll stop there.
Well, good morning to you all. It's great to be back here at good old Summerlees. Keep your Bible open there. We'll be referring to that quite a bit. Now, is there any sort of big fans of the taste of Tasmania here? Well, not necessarily big fans, like you don't necessarily long for it, but enjoy going to the taste. If you don't know what that is, it's just a festival at the wharf at Hobart's waterfront, just a sort of celebration time over New Year's Eve. That runs for a couple of weeks. They have some good food and drinks and desserts and entertainment and stuff like that. I had the privilege of going there, I think for the first time, not the last one, the one before that. I went with a couple of mates and it was a really good time. I didn't get off to a good start, mind you. I got shat on by a bird about 10 metres from the entrance. So that wasn't so good. It's actually one of my biggest fears, to be shat on by a bird in public, and it happened to happen at the worst time possible. Anyway, it was good. I was with two of my really good mates. Growing up with these guys, they weren't Christians, and I was and am still. And we were at this Taste of Tasmania. It was really good, getting some good food, some drinks, and entertainment and stuff like that. But the reason I'm telling you this is because a little bit later on, towards the end of the night, they were pretty keen to keep on going partying into the wee hours of the morning. And I do like a party, don't get me wrong, but they wanted me to continue on drinking with them. That was the main thing, to keep on drinking and get into it. And it's a pretty sort of sticky sort of situation that I find myself in. So I'm a Christian, I don't want to get drunk because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. But there's a part of me that thinks, well, it'd be a great thing to just sort of go with them. You know, I don't want to be the person to muck up the relationship. You know, we hardly ever get to spend time together. One of them lives on the mainland. You know, I don't want to be the spoil sport to say, well, no, sorry, I won't go with you. There's a part of me that thinks like that. But there's also a part of me, obviously, that doesn't want to give in to that. And so my mates are asking me, in effect, to desert the gospel, to leave that behind just for those couple of hours, and to sort of step over here and go with them and keep drinking. And at these sort of times, you know, in my life, and I'm sure you have it in your life as well, the question sort of pops into your head, why shouldn't I desert the gospel? You know, there's a part of you that thinks, it's just so hard sometimes. When you really just want to have a good time and just put your feet up, a little thing comes into your mind that says, why shouldn't I desert the gospel at that time? It's tough sometimes, isn't it? Now, that's just one example out of the many others that I'm sure you guys have as well, day in and day out perhaps sometimes. And the question I want us to look at this morning really is, you know, why shouldn't you desert the gospel? Why shouldn't you give in to the people around you here in Summerlees or at your work or whatever why shouldn't you give in to them and desert the gospel? So this morning, as it's already been alluded to, we're starting, or you're starting, a new series here in Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul, we're told in verse 1. And so Paul is this apostle, this sent one from God, and he's speaking to the churches in Galatia, which is sort of modern-day Turkey. If you're a bit of a geography buff, I don't really know where Turkey is, but if that helps you, that's where it is. It's in Turkey. That's the sort of area that he's speaking to. And have a look at what Paul says to them in verses 6 and 7. Don't know if you picked up on it as you sort of read through, but it's very striking. He jumps in straight away, verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So the Galatians, they are deserting the gospel. Paul has had obviously something to do with preaching to them the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, and they've got people in their lives who are pulling them away, wanting them to desert the gospel. Have a look at, just a quick look at chapter 4, verse 9. Halfway down chapter 4, verse 9, we read, Paul says, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You see, they were giving in to them. The false teachers that were around were sort of teaching them, you know, various things. They were the sort of Jews, and these new converts were Gentiles. They wanted them to come back to the old sort of Jewish way of doing things under the law, all that sort of stuff, and wanting to, them to desert the gospel. But Paul has some very strong and striking words for the Galatians, if they're thinking about continuing on deserting the gospel here in this letter. And he's got some very important words for us as well in those times, when we're with our mates or whatever, when we're thinking about deserting the gospel. He's got some good stuff to say to us this morning. Now, we're not going to cover all the little details here in this opening bit, but I do want us to look at, from here, two reasons why we shouldn't, as Christians, abandon and desert the gospel. The first one is you shouldn't desert the gospel, because if you do desert the gospel, then you'll be a slave to this present evil age. That's the big thing going on here in this opening. Have a look at verse 3 and 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. So as we all know, Jesus has come on this big sort of missionary sort of plan here to this world. God has sent his son to come to this world, to redeem the world, to save the world. And so he comes here, obeys his father, Jesus does. He lives amongst all of all the evilness and the sin that sort of covers this world. He obeys his father to the point of dying on a cross, which we all know, which saves us from what? Saves us from this present evil age. Paul's telling the Galatians that they've been rescued. They've been rescued from this present evil age. And I think he's telling us as well, if we're Christians, you know, we're living in the present evil age now, and we've been rescued also from this present evil age. But I don't know about you, when I wake up in the morning to go out into the living room and open up the curtains, the first thing I think when I look out the window isn't, good morning, present evil age. It's not the thing that's often on my mind. We've got a good view of the mountain from where we live. I don't sort of look up there and think, well, what an evil mountain in a present evil world or age. We've got old ladies that love to walk past our place, and I'm not the sort of person to stick my head out the window and say good morning to the present evil lady walking along the present evil footpath. It's not the first thing that sort of comes to my mind. Let me give you some examples of, you know, some of the good things in my life to make me think that I don't live in the present evil age. Firstly, I've got a home. You know, I've got a good home. I live with a couple of mates of mine, and we all get along very well. They treat me right. I treat them right. It's a good thing. You know, when I get home every day, I'm not sort of thinking, well, I'm living in an evil age. Another one would be work. I have a job. You know, you often hear of people that really struggle to get jobs. But for me, that hasn't been an issue. I've always had a job. Always had income sort of coming in and stuff like that. And I could walk to work. I don't walk to work, but I could. There's plenty of things in the world to entertain me. So whenever I'm bored, well, I'm rarely bored because there's always stuff to entertain me. So they are good things in my life. So I think, this is a couple of examples, but I think with these sort of things, well, surely I don't live in the present evil age here and now, do I? But the interesting thing is about most of the good things in my life is that they're good because in some way or another, they are centred around me. So I have a home, which keeps me warm at night. You know, I like going home because I have people that treat me well. I have a job which gives me money to live. Now, I like the people at work because they treat me well. And entertainment really stands on its own. It's there to entertain me, to look after my needs. But what about when these things in my life don't seem to be going so well and aren't centred around me? Which is, if we're honest, most of the time, if we actually have a think about it. You see, when people don't treat me right or have a go at me or whatever, in my mind, I'm declaring war on them. And then all of a sudden, this world does appear to be a little bit evil. And the people in this world do appear to be a little bit evil. And if I'm thinking like this, then chances are most of you are, and we live in a world amongst billions and billions of people who think and live life like this. And so we do live in the present evil age. And as we've all heard from that song or wherever it originally comes from little things, big things grow. So for example, from the little sort of lusting thoughts in my mind, which don't seem too bad, come the big things out in the world that we love to point at and love to think, well, just how evil they are, where people are raped and people are assaulted. From the little thing, the big sin sort of grows. From the small sort of racist thoughts that pop into my head come the sort of fatal bashings and stuff like that that you hear about a lot of the time. You know, from the small sin in my heart and mine comes big things that I never thought that I would do. It's easy to point the finger. It's easy to tell you this morning about Hitler and all those sorts of people. But it starts here. It starts with us, doesn't it? We are living in the present evil age because we are one of those evil people in this evil age. So if you don't think you're living in the present evil age, the chances are you are a slave to this present evil age. If you can't see that you're living in the present evil age now, that's because you've been enslaved by the way that this world operates and thinks. You've been blinded. See, we're living in an age where all the way from Genesis 3, from the fall, humanity has rejected God, and therefore God has given over us to do what ought not to be done, we're told in other parts of the Bible. And so he's let us reject him. And as a result of us rejecting him, the world has become evil. The present world in which you live has become an evil sort of age. So if you're a Christian here this morning, which is most of us, this is where we've come from. We've come from being a slave, living under this world, being blinded by this world, being trapped, not able to think and not able to see above the way that this world thinks. This is where we've come from, over here. So don't go back to that. So you don't desert the gospel and go back to being a slave. It doesn't make sense, does it? So you shouldn't desert the gospel, because if you do, you'll be a slave again to the present evil age. You'll be blinded again by your rejection of God and thinking that everything's okay when it's not. I'm going to apply all this sort of later on. That's the first reason why you shouldn't desert the gospel. The second one is closely connected. You shouldn't desert the gospel because you've been freed from this present evil age. So have a look again at verses 3 and 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. So if you're a Christian here this morning, you've been rescued, you've been freed, you've been delivered, you've been cut loose, from slavery to this world into freedom. So Christ has given himself on the cross, as we all know, to free us from slavery of living under this world. So it's as if when Jesus came to this world and died on the cross, he's sort of saying to his Father, to God, he's saying, well, Father, I will become a slave for this world. I will become a slave for the evilness of this world. But Lord, free them. Father, free them.
free us.
Let the people be free. It's as if that's what Jesus is saying. He's become a slave so that we could be freed. And you see, as Jesus died on the cross and as he rises again, and as we have faith in him as our Lord and as our Saviour, he brings with him this new age. So we know about it as the kingdom. Jesus talks about it as the kingdom of heaven. So you've got the old kingdom and the new kingdom. And Jesus brings with him this new kingdom, this new age, which if we have faith and trust in Christ for our sins, we become a part of. We become a part of this new age, no longer slaves to the present evil age. And so because you understand this, because you understand you've been freed from this, you can understand what Paul goes on to say throughout this letter. So I'm not going to cover it all this morning because I don't want to spoil it, but once you understand this foundation, Paul goes through some pretty full-on sort of stuff, and it's hard to understand some of it, but you understand what he's saying when he says, you used to be like this over here and living under this sort of thing and under the law, and you used to desire this, but now, because you've been freed, you live under this, you live under grace. You desire these things, you're led by this. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll discover it as you keep going through this series. You used to be under the old law, but now you're not. So you used to be a slave, but now free. This is the big thing, as Christina mentioned in the talk. You used to be a slave, but you're now free. So why? Why would we want to desert that and go back to slavery? That's the question you've got to think about in those times in your life. You've been freed. Why on earth would I want to go back to slavery? I know it's easy to say that up here. But, think about a slave. They don't sort of, when they get cut loose to be free from their slavery, the first thing they don't think about is, well, I might just head back into slavery, do they? They've been cut loose from slavery to be free, not to go back to the present evil age. So don't desert the gospel because you've been freed from it. And that's why Paul says that he's astonished in verse 6. He can't believe this. They've been freed from the gospel of Christ, and they're deserting that. They're giving in to the temptations around them, and they're heading back into good old slavery, which appears to be a nice thing, but it's a horrible thing. Now they can't really understand life. They can't see that they are of the evil people. And so Paul, in this letter, he comes with a message from God, not man. Have a look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Apostle is a sent one, sent not from men nor by man, but by Christ, Jesus Christ and God the Father. In verse 10, Paul says, Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But that's exactly what Paul is here writing this letter. He is a servant of Christ. He hasn't simply gone away and thought up some awesome philosophy or some awesome idea about life that would really help out the churches in Galatia. He has come to the churches in Galatia, he has come to us with this letter with a message from God. That's the authority he comes in. And that's why it's so serious, as he goes on to say in verses 8 and 9, to preach a message other than the gospel. You've probably picked that up as you read through, but have a look at verses 8 and 9. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. See, that's big stuff, and Paul's mentioned it twice, so he wants us to pick up on this. And the reason is so serious, because if we go around preaching to someone a gospel other than faith in Jesus, they've got no chance to come from slavery into freedom. So if we preach them anything other than the gospel, then they can't come from slavery into freedom. And that's why it's so important. That's why this present evil age is so important, because if people are only going to be freed by it when they hear the gospel. So if we're to go around preaching anything else, these false teachers were, will be eternally condemned. A serious sort of warning. So don't desert the gospel of grace. See, the gospel is a free gift from God, which sets us free from this age. Now, what are the temptations in your life? I shared an example of one in the sort of introduction with your mates and stuff like that. What are the temptations, you know, in your life? What's in your life that's trying to drag you away from the gospel of grace, from freedom, back into slavery? So it could be things like the habitual sin that keeps popping up in your life, or it could be the sin that only happens every now and again. But it's a good question to ask yourself, and if you talk about this in your gospel community meetings, you know, what are the things in your life that are pulling you back into slavery that you might not or notice? What are those things in your life? I could try and apply this by going through quite a few different things, but you know what's dragging you back. So try and be honest with yourself. What's dragging you back? There's stuff in this present evil age, if we're honest, which looks very attractive to the eye, if we're going to be honest about it. Now, there's stuff in this world that I think, oh gosh, I just wish, just for a little while, you know, I could indulge in that. See, we're faced here with similar and different temptations every day that want us to desert the gospel of Christ. But when you get a chance to think about it, you realise that all these promises that are being made to you, all these promises of coming back into slavery that have been promised to you, they're just lies. When you get a chance to step back and think about it, those things are just lying to you. Those people of this present evil age are lying to you, wanting you to come back into slavery. Just come this way, you know? Oh yeah, it looks glorious, looks great over here, but they let you down. It's lies. So if you desert the gospel, you're deserting the only thing that can set you free. So don't let yourself be enslaved again by the present evil age, because you've been freed from it by Jesus giving himself up for you on the cross. That's an introduction to Galatians. Hopefully that helps as you work your way through, going through the rest of the letter, keeping those things in mind. Try and remember that as you're tempted to head back into slavery. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much that you've brought a message to us straight through the Apostle Paul. Thank you so much that although we deserve none other than being a slave to this world, thank you so much that you've set us free from that, and that we can have Christ as our Saviour, and that we can enter this present evil age, we can enter this new age that Christ has brought with him. Father, we're faced with so much stuff in this world that tempts us to head back into slavery, and we want to be bold in asking, Lord, that you would help us to not desert the gospel in these times, but to remember what you've done for us on the cross and just how bad it is for us to head back into slavery. We pray, Father, for your mercy on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.